goodness, it's a worry making decisions about how to present this. Do I stand? Do I sit? What should be my background? I cleared the windowsill there. I took off Dillis's gin bottle that normally sits there. I thought it was inappropriate. Do I replace it with a Christian symbol? That seemed a little bit pretentious since there isn't normally one there. Or do I just put a decoration up there? So that's what I've done. The worries we have. Anyway, hello and welcome to this morning's reflections from Christchurch City Park in Birmingham. Before I continue, I'd like to pray for us all. Father God, thank you for welcoming us all. Thank you that your ears are always open to hear us, your heart is always open to love us, and your arms are always open to reach out to us and embrace us. Teach us as you taught your disciples on the mountainside. Open our ears to your words, open our minds to your instruction, and open our hearts to be changed by your eternal truths. Through the name of your Son who spoke the words we are now going to reflect upon, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We'll continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount. The series title is The Good and Beautiful Life, and today's topic is Learning Not to Worry. I'm really looking forward to John's reflections on the passage. Worry and anxiety are realities for all of us. With my fellow teachers at school in the current pandemic, I see a spectrum of anxiety levels. On the whole, people seem to have their own natural level of worry. Some are relaxed and easygoing. I don't think that's something they can be smug about. They're just blessed with that nature. Others seem anxious and worried. I don't think that's something that reflects badly on them. They deserve our support and encouragement. It seems to me it's a bit like being overweight. Some are blessed with a tendency towards a healthy weight. For others, it is always something that they will have to work at. The fact that Jesus gives instructions about worry suggests to me that, like obesity, it is something that we can usually, at least, address and change. It's worth working at. Those are just my thoughts. I don't think you'll find them in the Bible. So I'm looking forward to hearing what is in the Bible. Dillis will be reading to us, and then to hearing John's thoughts on that passage. Our series title is taken from a book by James Brown Smith. In the book, each topic has a suggested exercise to go with it. This week's exercise concerns turning our cares into prayers. Pat has generously volunteered to share her reflections on carrying out that exercise over the past week. But first, let's hear God's word.
The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Do not worry. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? for the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, here I am, having been given this Bible passage to speak on, and a talk entitled Learning Not to Worry. For those of you who know me well, you'll realise the irony of this, because you could say I could have a degree in worrying. And following on from a traumatic experience a few years ago, I'm still prone to episodes of anxiety. Now, if you think that disqualifies me from speaking on this subject, and if you like your preachers to have it all sorted out and all their problems well behind them, you'll be disappointed today. So feel free to fast forward to the next part of today's reflection if you want to. Ah, you're still there. Maybe you're just curious or nosy, or maybe you too have a problem with worry and anxiety that rears its ugly head more often than you want it to. So let's think about today's Bible passage. You have to admit the passage we read is really beautiful. And it follows on from what Graham was talking about last week in the passage where Jesus was talking about not being able to serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. And our passage today starts with the word therefore. In other words, it's continuing from what Jesus has just said. Therefore, what about our attitude to money and material things? A lot of money, a lot of everyone's money does go on clothes and food and other essentials, overheads like that. And it's quite normal to worry about such things and plan for our lives. But, says Jesus, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. And then he goes on to use a lovely parallel, looking at the birds, looking at flowers. And look at the birds, Jesus says, don't they? They don't sow or reap, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? And the same about your clothes. God makes the wildflowers more beautifully dressed than any clothes you could imagine. So if God clothes them like that, why are you worrying about your own clothes? Now, Jesus was speaking here, possibly to people who lived hand to mouth and who depended a lot on what that harvest could give them to ensure they had enough to eat and enough clothes to wear. Some of us too may live a hand-to-mouth existence, relying on the food bank for our meals, getting the bargains from the charity shops. We may have lost our job. We may have a reduced income and wonder how we're going to make ends meet. But don't be bowed down by material worries, says Jesus. Can any one of us, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? He asks. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. We come to realise our utter dependence on God for life, for health, for sustenance. As Graham said last week, these material things are not to be the main focus of our lives. We are to be guided by an eternal perspective and trusting in a loving God to provide for us. And in this passage, towards the end of the passage, Jesus comes to what is probably the crunch line of this section here. He says, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is saying that we need to get our priorities right. First things first, go for God's way, living in his kingdom way, and all the rest of these, food and clothes, all these issues will be sorted out. No, the food probably won't just drop from the sky into our mouths. The birds that come into our garden here, they have to go looking for it. We put seed out for them, they still have to come for it and fight their way for it. And we will still need to find ways of supporting ourselves, looking for a job, going out and seeing what we can do, or looking for ways of support if we can't get a job or any other way of supporting ourselves. Bring your concerns to me, says Jesus. Let me take the load off you and show you the way through, even though this way through might not always be easy. And for those of us who aren't struggling financially or wondering where our next meal is coming from, our worries about material things can move to another level, such as, have we got the latest stuff? Have we got the best stuff? And feeling incomplete without it. Or else we can worry about things at yet another level, my health, the health of, and well-being of my family and friends, you name it, the list's endless. It's not just about food and clothes, is it? And probably for a lot of us, it's mainly about these other things. What do the scriptures exhort us to do? The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, this isn't the facile bumper sticker that says, "Don't worry, be happy." No, it's because we can commit our way to God, our Father. So that's what we should be doing, bringing our situation and needs to God in prayer, asking him and thanking him for what he's going to do. We do what we should in a situation. We take proper care and proper responsibility in the situation, but we admit that there are limits to what we can do. We admit there's a point that we can start worrying and being anxious. And before the anxiety kicks in, we commit that situation to God. We tell him about it. He knows already about it, of course, but we still tell him. We take it to him and ask him to deal with it in a way that we can't. And we thank him for what he's going to do, whatever that is. So we have a choice to make. We can stay as we are and keep on fretting and keep it all bottled up inside us, or we can tell God about the situation and present him with our requests about that situation. The scripture then goes on to talk about God's peace guarding our hearts and minds. And that's true, but like a number of situations in the Christian life, it may not be an instant solution. It may take time, and we also have to cooperate in the work that God would do in our hearts and minds. So we're going to look at some practical ways of cooperating with God in all of this. We might well find that we have to remind ourselves daily or more often that we have committed these potential worries to God, and we have left them with him. Left them with him, not keep taking them back again. And we have to let him know that we are trusting him for that situation. And that doesn't rule out other avenues of support as well. We're not meant to be some kind of lone ranger in the Christian life. We're part of a church fellowship where we're called to take care of other people. And Paul, writing to the Christians in Galatia, says to them, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Carry each other's burdens, and that means sometimes you will have to carry my burden for me. Don't be too proud to ask another Christian brother or sister for help or support in a difficult time that you're going through. And as a church, we, as a church group and as individuals, should always be on the lookout for brothers and sisters who need our support and help and ready to give it as well. And if you're struggling with anxiety, it may be that you need to see a medical doctor who can refer you for a course of therapy or counselling or prescribe some medication. Taking medication prescribed by your doctor doesn't mean that you've failed or that you're not trusting God. Anxiety can be a medical condition that needs help, and God's help can come to us in a variety of ways. Also, you might for a time need to avoid particular situations. It's also wise to unnecessarily add to worries by dwelling on things that are unhelpful, for instance, particular websites or an overload of constant news coverage, which might boost our anxiety levels. It's obvious that for many people, this COVID pandemic has brought on particular worries and anxieties. We need to think through carefully the advice that's given. We need to act on advice sensibly, but then we're to give our potential worries to God, asking him to look after us. So there will be troubles in life. God doesn't promise us a suffering-free life, but don't know about you, but I'm looking to the Lord to get me through and to use whatever good things he gives me to help me through. Some of us might be more affected by worry or anxiety than others, and different people will have their different struggles in life. So to finish off, as I said earlier, God's help can come to us in a variety of ways. Comfort through his word, the Bible, to us. Feed on it. Make reading a portion of it daily part of your daily routine. Build up a knowledge of some ways that God has said that he will be with us in our troubles and in our cares. If you're not sure where to get started, ask a trusted Christian friend for advice. Maybe even copy some of the promises of God to us on little cards that you can carry around with you, not some lucky charm, but to take out when you're feeling stressed and to remind yourself that what God has promised to do for us and how he's promised to be with us. Meet up, as far as you're able, with fellow Christian believers, supporting and being supported, perhaps as part of a house group, although sadly that's just online for most of us at the moment. But we can find comfort there and help, shared support, shared experience. And as I've already said, you might need to see your medical doctor who would be able to help if you suffer from anxiety. Take time to appreciate the good things that God has given us in this life. There's an old hymn that some of us who are a bit grey, like me, might remember about counting our blessings and seeing what God has already done for us. And go through some of them in your mind and giving thanks to God for what he's done. Sister Jackie, and I do have her permission to say this, when she was in hospital on a previous time, she was known on her ward as the thankfulness lady, because at the end of each day, she would get her fellow patients to think of something to be thankful for, something positive that had happened that day, and give thanks for it. Jackie, of course, was giving thanks to God, and little by little, perhaps the other patients would realise that there was someone to be thankful for. Something positive that had happened to them. If it helps, and if you're able to do it safely, go for a walk and enjoy something of the beauty of God's creation. Ask God for more of the peace and joy that he gives us by his Holy Spirit living in us and the promise of his presence with us. Talking about God's presence with us reminds me of the story of Brother Lawrence, the story I love so much, a lay brother living in a monastery in Paris in the 17th century. He cultivated the habit of always being aware that Jesus was with him. He was there washing pots, working in the kitchen, but he was there cultivating that habit, knowing that Jesus was with him, whatever his work, whatever his situation, wherever he happened to be. Let us too try to cultivate this habit and realise Jesus' presence with us all the time. So, learning not to worry was the title of this talk. Whatever you are, I know I'm still a work in progress. And in some ways we all are until the day we die. But God is faithful and will keep us close to him if we are willing to put our trust in him. As the Apostle Peter says, cast all your anxiety on him, on God, because he cares for you.
This week's soul training gives us practical guidance on how to turn our cares into prayers. James Brian Smith advises us to give some time each morning to reflecting upon everything which is making us anxious. He suggests that we write down a list of our cares and then ask ourselves the question, what can I do directly in response to this? In some cases, we have an answer, something which will make the situation better. If we are worried about someone who seems troubled, we can speak with them on the phone, meet for a socially distanced coffee, or send a card or note of encouragement to show that they are not alone in their troubles. If we know that we have a big household bill on the horizon, we can begin to put money aside ready for payment. In other situations, we realise that nothing that we can do of our own volition will change things. So Brian Smith reminds us that these are cares that we must turn over to God. He encourages us to write our request to God and to be very specific about what it is that we need or desire. We pray in trust that God will hear our prayers, but by being specific, James Brian Smith maintains that we are more likely to recognise God's answers to our prayers, even if they aren't always quite what we may have expected. He also suggests that by thinking carefully about what we ask God for, we are more likely to be less self-orientated and more kingdom-centred. I've followed this plan over the last week, and in reflecting honestly on my cares and worries and seeking to recognise what is my responsibility and what I really need to turn over to God, I have found that my prayers have become more focused. Instead of praying, "Help me to do this, Lord," it's been, "Through your Holy Spirit, give me the grace, energy, or time to do this, Lord." I've given my fears and worries about coronavirus to God, particularly my concern about people who do not wear face masks in shops. I asked that I might find a way of blessing these people rather than feeling resentful, and then found myself in Morrison's silently praying that the mother and teenage daughter who came towards me without masks would remain safe and free from infection. On most days, I have found myself giving three or four major concerns to God, whilst thanking him for the grace and mercy he freely gives us. I have felt a sense that prayers have been answered, and believe that by being more focused and deliberate in my prayers, I have come to see what a great privilege it is to have this opportunity to share my cares with our Heavenly Father.
Good morning, everyone. Now we come to present our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Our Father God, we come with grateful thanks for all your blessings to us. And we come with our concerns, with the issues which sadden us and bewilder us, for which we see no way forward. We pray for our world and bring to you the many problems that are so difficult to solve in a loving and caring way. The ongoing pandemic, famine, disasters, man-made and natural, war, hatred, selfishness. We pray for your will to be done and for your kingdom to come, and ask that all those who devote themselves to establishing peace and reconciliation will be strengthened and encouraged. We pray for those who govern our city and our country. We ask you to be with them as they have to make hard decisions. And Lord, save us from requiring of leaders virtues which we do not practice ourselves. May the good we seek first be practiced in our own locality by ourselves. Help us to a new awareness that the whole world begins with our families, our friends, our neighbours, and our work colleagues. We pray for our children and young people who are going back to school and college. We ask for your protection as they have to cope with new ways of being together and learning. We pray for teachers and administrators and ask that you will guide and protect them. May they know your peace and joy in these difficult times. We pray for all who spend their lives feeling dissatisfied, for those who are unhappy, lonely, overworked or out of work. Please lift their spirits and grant them your blessing. We pray for those who are ill and in pain, and those whose lives have suddenly been shattered. Help them to gather the fragments to start again. Grant them courage and hope and the assurance of your love and care. We pray for our church and the selection process for a new vicar. Please grant guidance and wisdom to the selection panel and to the applicants themselves. Lord, we do not always find it easy to recognise your coming to us. Therefore, when our spirits are downcast and we believe you have failed us, reveal yourself to us afresh. Open our eyes to understand secrets of your word and set our heavy hearts on fire with love and send us on our way rejoicing. O Lord, we beseech you mercifully to receive these the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that we may know what things we ought to do, and also may have grace and power to do the same. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Let's close now with our final prayer. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Spirit of the Lord fill us so that we know we are blessed and kept. And may the words of Jesus Christ be written on our hearts and be real in our heads. I tell you, do not worry. So, do not worry. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. We pray this with gratitude that living in Christ, we can obey this instruction. We pray this with commitment that with the Holy Spirit and with his help, we may seek to put these words into practice. And we pray this assured of the love of the Father who longs to wipe away our tears of anxiety and fear. Amen.